Y'all can be seated. Good morning. To those of you who may be new or visiting with us, we're glad to have you here. My name is Matt Schwartz. I'm the pastor of worship and operations here at Terra Saratoga. And on behalf of Pastor Daniel, Pastor Ruben, and myself, we are glad to be in the house of God this morning with the people of God, worshiping and praising His name. In this time of Advent, we, as Joy was telling us, we seek to prepare our hearts for the true realities that we see in Scripture about who Jesus is and that He is our hope. He is our hope of light. He is our hope of salvation, our hope of restoration. And this time of year, we dwell deeply in the tension between what we know to be true, that Jesus is come, Jesus is here, the kingdom is here, yet we long for the full expression of it. We wait for the day with hope. We don't wait for that day in vain because we know that Jesus has come and we know that He keeps His promises and that He's faithful and that He is coming again. We wait in this idea with of longing, just like the old people of faith did, the Israelites, who waited for hundreds and hundreds of years for some sort of message, for some sort of clarity, for some sort of voice. And we see that come through the Christ child, poor, humble, in a manger. We wait for a God who keeps His promises. So this Advent, we are looking at four different characters in the Christ event story. Last week, we looked at Simeon. This week, we'll look at Joseph. We're also going to take a look at Anna and Mary. Just like last week, Simeon was waiting for the Lord and got to hold his Lord and to see himself, as Daniel put it beautifully, he was holding Christ, yet Christ was holding him. And the beauty of that. Here this morning we see a character, Joseph, who had no idea what was coming to him, but listened to the Lord and responded with obedience and faithful humbleness each step of the way that God told him. So our roadmap today, we're going to look at three things. We're going to look at Joseph the man, Joseph the father, and Joseph the listener. Joseph the man, Joseph the father, Joseph the listener. And I want to read our passage one more time for us as we turn our hearts to Him. And I will have you stand again, just out of respect for the Word of God. This is His Word and His truth, though. If you're able, please stand. And let's read the Word of God together. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus took place this way. When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name of Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son and called his name Jesus, the word of the Lord. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, would you open up our hearts and our minds to your truth this morning? Holy Spirit, would you speak through me that you would help me transmit what you want this congregation to hear this morning well. I pray that we would receive it with humility and that you would change our hearts because you are a living and active God who speaks through His word. Thank you for it. Thank you for this time. Be with us now. In your name we pray. Amen. Please have a seat. Or you could stand too. It's totally fine if you want. Whatever. It's fine. So this morning we're going to look at a guy who we actually know quite a bit about, Joseph. But often he gets overshadowed. I mean, I think rightly so. Mary's a phenomenal and super important person in the scope of history. But Joseph really is kind of a more background character, if you will. And that the root of that is just his essence of humility that we're going to see this morning as we take a look at Joseph. And so what do we know about him? We'll look at some things that are important and some things that are maybe not as important, but I thought were interesting, at least in studying this great man, Joseph. So all the four Gospels, we hear the name Joseph in reference to Jesus, you know, Jesus being the son of Joseph. That's what people called Jesus at different times. Joseph was, he was a pretty important guy, actually, in terms of his lineage. The beginning of Matthew chapter 1, Matthew helps us see his ancestral line being connected to the King David. And so he was indeed his ancestor. And we were told throughout the Old Testament in 2 Samuel, where we get this idea of the Davidic covenant, where God says that to David that there's going to be the Messiah that's going to come from your line that is going to rule over everybody forever and ever. Your throne will have no end, and he will save people from their sins. So this is God introducing the covenant that he had with David that from his line would come the one. And this is non-conditional. It's a non-conditional covenant. If you understand that, there was nothing anybody had to do. This was God said, this is going to happen. And so we see through Joseph that it does happen. 2 Samuel 7:11 through 13, it says, "When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." So that's 2 Samuel 7:11 through 13 from the prophet Nathan. So Joseph is an important person in fulfilling this prophecy. Now, you might be saying in your head, but actually he wasn't his father, Matt, so how does this actually work? Well, that might take a cup of coffee another time this week, not punting that or dodging it, but also know that if we look in Luke's gospel in Luke 3, we'll see that Mary's lineage also connects to King David. So it's all very complicated. In mysterious, as God's ways often are, very mysterious, but know that Joseph is very important and is indeed legally, for Matthew's purposes, since Matthew is the most Jewish of the Gospels, legally he used the male heir tracing back to King David to establish Jesus as being part of the Davidic line, as opposed to Mary. You guys catching that? So in the Jewish culture, it would have been a male heir that would have been the significant root. But we have both, actually, Joseph and Mary. If I'm confusing you, it's okay. Talk to me this week, and we can go over that. What I'm trying to say is Joseph is an important guy in terms of his lineage, his family, and where he can trace himself back to. We also know that Joseph was a faithful Jewish person, and he was a faithful follower of the law. Verse 19 says that Joseph was a just man, but some translations actually say he was faithful to the law. So some translations read verse 19, Joseph was faithful to the law. In Luke chapter 2, in Luke's gospel, we read that every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem to observe the Passover. He and his family were followers and doers of God's law in all aspects of it. In our passage today, we see that Joseph understood the law when it came to sex outside of marriage and understood the implications for his fiancée's future life and her reputation. He understood this clearly by the decisions he was thinking of making. We see that Joseph brings his family to the temple to worship. Again, in Luke 2, remember the story where Jesus gets lost? I love, this is such a great, anybody have a kid that just disappears? I'm the only one? Harry? Oh, no, date back, yeah, Lucille can, actually, Lucille and Harry disappear together a lot, actually, it's interesting. But anyway, so Jesus disappears, and they're actually, like, a day, like, they've already walked an entire day, and then they're like, oh, no, where's Jesus? And they go back, and he's in the temple. If I was a father, I'd probably be a little angry, but then I'd be like, he's in the place where I would want him to be, right? That would be the greatest place to find your kid, is worshiping in the temple. So Joseph and his family were faithful followers of the Jewish religion. Joseph was a tradesman. The scriptures say he was a carpenter, but if you take the Hebrew and you translate that a couple different times, it could also say that he was a stonemason or a metal worker. Interesting, isn't it? Maybe Jesus wasn't a carpenter. Maybe he worked with metal. I don't know, but some scholars believe that this word carpenter was more just as a tradesman, and so he could have been in different trades working with his hands. This is really interesting, but interestingly enough to say it, it is likely, scholars believe that Joseph died young. Again, not super important, but scholars believe that he was a young man when he married Mary, as opposed to an older man, but a young man, they were both young people. And when Jesus is on the cross, when he's carrying his cross to Golgotha, we read in the Gospels that Jesus gives his mother over to John to be her caretaker. This would indicate that Joseph was no longer around, able to protect and take care of Mary. So if he was 18, let's say, when Jesus was born and died around before Jesus was 33, that makes him in his 50s. Okay? This wasn't super young or super old, but it is interesting that he possibly passed away before his son did. Moving on. We know that Joseph was a man of high character. We see this all throughout the scriptures when we hear of Joseph. We know that he was kind. We know that he was prudent. He was wise. He was obedient. He was a protector. Just in this story, we find Joseph being in a situation that seemed impossible and crazy to understand. Okay, it's something kind of like out of a strange science fiction novel or soap opera. And this really speaks a lot of Joseph's character. If you were faced with the situation that Joseph was faced with, somebody with high character would act the way, possibly the way Joseph did. So Joseph could have said to Mary when she told him, I'm pregnant, he could have said, I'm done with you. How dare you? Who was it? But Joseph, it says he was a faithful follower of the law, and he knew that Mary getting pregnant outside of marriage could have meant that she could have been put to death by the religious leaders. The community could have expelled her from the synagogue. Joseph himself could have publicly shamed her and turned the entire town against her. Mary could have lost everything. But he didn't. Out of kindness and love, he decided not to disgrace Mary, but actually protect her by divorcing her. We know that's not God's plan, but we can see a heart that wanted to love this woman in spite of all that was happening. Now we see that this is all before, all of this information that's coming out about Mary came before the angel visited Joseph. So Mary, remember, if we remember Mary's story, and we'll look at it in a couple of weeks, Mary received the message from the angel Gabriel about her own pregnancy and also about her cousin Elizabeth's son, John. Okay, so Luke says that after this news, after Mary received the news from the angel, she went in haste to the hill country to her cousin's house and stayed there about 3 months. Elizabeth was 6 months at that time, 3 months, that would be 9 months. She probably stayed to wait to see John born. So Mary leaves in haste this small town, wasn't living with Joseph yet, they were betrothed, leaves this town in haste and spends 3 months away. And then comes back and says, Joseph, I'm pregnant, but I'm still a virgin. Okay? This might be bonkers to Joseph, and it probably was. But again, amidst this tumultuous and confusing and scary situation, Joseph was a man of character, of high standing, of love, of care, of compassion. He is kind. We know ultimately that he humbles himself to change course. He made a plan that was kind, but humbly, he changes course when he receives from the Lord. So we know that he is a kind and man of high character. But also, day to day, Joseph is a father. So I want to camp out here for a little bit and look at Joseph as a father to Jesus. And just as I mentioned at the beginning, like Daniel had considered last week, how fascinating it was that Simeon held Jesus as a baby, yet he was holding his Savior, who was holding him. And so it's interesting to see the qualities of Joseph being a father to Jesus. We see those qualities of Christ caring for us as his people, as his sons and daughters. So we'll look at three ways that Joseph was a father to Jesus, and we'll see how those ways we can see Christ revealed in those things. So the three things are, we'll see Joseph as a protector, Joseph as a provider, and Joseph as a companion. So as a protector, just like Jesus is our protector, Joseph protects his wife and all of these things from scorn and from gossip. As a strong man and father, he protects those in his home that would seek to hurt and destroy and steal from them. More than just material things, Jesus is our protector from sin, from brokenness, from death. He protects us from the things that harm our souls. Second, Joseph is Jesus' provider. As Jesus' father, he's his provider. Whatever work he did, probably carpentry or some sort of trade, he provided food and shelter for his family and clothing. He provided a skill for Jesus to learn and work with his hands. He gave Jesus work and meaning in his life. He provides for Jesus all things as a good father would provide for his children. But if we look to Jesus, we see that Jesus provides us more than food and clothing and shelter, more than material things. Jesus provides food for our souls through his word. He provides us meaning in the life that he gives us. He gives us new life in living towards and for his kingdom according to what he says in his gospel. So Jesus provides for us more than just material things. He provides for us a way forward. He provides for us meaning in this life. Thirdly, Joseph is a father and a companion. For those of us who have fathers or who have had fathers, your father was either a companion or you wished that your father was more of a companion. No father is perfect. But a father ideally is somebody that walks alongside their children through the ups and the downs. As a father, Joseph gave Jesus a name and a place to dwell. Joseph walked through, I'm sure, through the relationships of life, the hardships of work, the hardships of everyday life, as a companion. Jesus does the same for us, friends. Jesus walks with us every step of the way. Jesus, having had incarnated and become a man, knows what it's like to have the ups and downs of this life. He feels our joys. He feels our joys. He feels our sadness. He listens to us when we need to speak, and he speaks wisdom to us through his Holy Spirit and through his word. Jesus gives us a new identity in his name when we call upon him and ask him for forgiveness of our sins. He transforms us from one to the next. He gives us new identity in his name, in Christ. So it's interesting to take a look at these characters and how they exemplified Christ-likeness in their obedience to the Lord, in their listening to Him, in their actions. And I think for Joseph, one of the most exemplary characteristics, besides being a good father of high character, being a hard worker, being prudent, being wise, I think the most exemplary character that we can see in Joseph and where we'll spend the rest of our time this morning is that he's a listener. Joseph is a listener. We've established that that Joseph had this kind and thoughtful plan with what to do with Mary, and I don't mean that pejoratively, but what to do with this situation. But look at here at verse 20. If you have your Bibles open, you can look down, but if not, the verse 20 says, as he considered these things, I want to pause there for a minute. Joseph wasn't hasty with what he was doing. He was being careful. And it's safe to assume, based on Joseph's character and his commitment to being a faithful follower of the law, it's safe to assume that as he considered these things means he prayerfully considered these things. And when the Lord listens to Joseph, or when the Lord speaks to Joseph, Joseph is considering these things, and he is open and humble to hear these things and to obey. Now, maybe it wasn't a snap of a finger, okay? But we can speculate that we don't know how quickly he responded, but we know that he does listen, and then he what? He listens and obeys. And we won't cover it today, but two more times in Matthew's gospel and throughout the other gospels, we see stories about Joseph being met in dreams by angels to tell him to do something, and he listens and he obeys. And it results in protecting his family, and it results in the carrying out of God's plan through him. Now, remember back to our Rhythms of Rootedness series. We just finished this, and one of the rhythms we learned about was listening to God. So we're going to kind of use what we have learned from this rhythm and apply it today to Joseph. During that Sunday when we were talking about listening to God, we read a number of times the Shema, which is the prayer of the Jewish people that comes from Deuteronomy 6, and it starts like this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And do you remember that the word for hearing in Hebrew, Shema, is the same as obeying? It's one and the same, hearing and obeying. It's not just hearing and then deciding if you're going to obey. If you Shema, and often Jewish people would say Shema, Shema, like hear, listen. It's the same thing, same word, same idea. So we see Joseph exemplifying what it means to Shema, which is to hear and obey. Also in our sermon on listening to God, we looked at not just the fact that God speaks to us, which is a profound reality beyond comprehension, but we looked at how we ought to receive God's voice. We can hear and obey, but how ought we receive God's voice? Like, if God is going to speak, which he does, we need to be ready to receive his word. And the three ways in which we ought to receive God's word, or three things, in truth, in honesty, and humility. Do you remember those three? This was a few months ago. Truth, honesty, and humility are ways that our heart ought to receive God listening, or ought to receive God speaking to us and us listening. And we can see all these things in the life of Joseph. So let's take a look at how Joseph receives and listens to God in truth. So the angel speaks to Joseph with already revealed truth. Do you know what it is? His message is containing a prophecy. Does anybody know where this prophecy is from? Anybody? 10 points to Gryffindor. Anybody know where the prophecy comes from in this passage? Isaiah, anybody know what chapter? Isaiah chapter 7. okay? I had to look it up too, so it's not like I'm like all this knowledge, okay? So, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. This is the prophet Isaiah hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before the angel spoke it to Joseph. But Joseph would have known this. This would have been in the scriptures that he knew and read. This is the truth that people were waiting for. It was a truth that was already made manifest. It was a truth that God had spoken and now is being made manifest through the Christ child. This is truth that he'd been longing for and praying for and waiting for, and now it's here. So Joseph hears the deep truth of God's plan and responds accordingly. Joseph also receives this word from the angel Gabriel in honesty. Now, it's easy to miss here, okay? And again, I might be speculating a little bit on Joseph, but Gabriel says, he starts his message by, "Do not fear to take Mary as your wife." What does that mean? Obviously, when Joseph had found out that Mary was pregnant, we know that he'd been thinking and praying about this deeply and thinking and praying about divorcing her, which means he was likely a bit nervous about the implications for his life and her life. And I think we would too have some fear and nervousness around this situation. And the fact that Joseph had decided in his mind to divorce Mary shows this, shows that he had a fear of the unknown, of what was coming to us, coming to him. His name as being part of a descendant of the King of David and his reputation. This was all a big deal. And he was fearful, and the angel addresses this. He addresses his honesty. Now, we won't talk about Mary until the fourth week of Advent, but she's in this story too. And what a beautiful honesty that Mary brings to the angel as well when Gabriel visits her. How can this be? I'm a virgin, right? Beautiful, pure, open honesty. So God meets Joseph in this honest emotion, but Joseph still hears and obeys, and he does this humbly. And that's the most important part of these three: truth, honesty, and humility. We need to have humility when we listen to the Lord, as Joseph did. Now, that doesn't mean that the Lord can't speak to us and deal with like our arrogance and our stubbornness. We certainly see people stubbornly and arrogantly responding to the Lord. But Joseph responds in humility. He puts his life, his reputation, his name, his lineage in the hands of Almighty God, and he receives and obeys. Would you and I have done the same? I don't know, but there was still so much Joseph didn't know. And as we've discussed already, this would mean, like he was probably asking himself, what would this mean for the rest of his life? What would people think of his wife? Were they going to gossip and slander them? Was this person really the Messiah? Did I really hear this angel right? Is this really my Savior coming out of my betrothed's womb? But Joseph had to take one step at a time. This was a big step, let's be honest. But Joseph was stepping in to the unknown. But he had humility. Now, the crux of our message today, and now towards some application as we come to a close, is that we can obey even when we don't have the whole picture, if we are obeying the one who does. We can obey even when we don't have the whole picture if we are obeying the one who does. So in Joseph, we see someone who trusted his Lord so deeply that he took this first and fearful step, knowing and trusting that God would speak again and again to show him the way. So let me ask you this morning, where might you all be in a place where God is asking you to take a first step? Maybe it's a second step, a third step. But where is he asking you to take a step? Where has God spoken clearly to you and asked you to obey? Whether in a big thing or a little thing. Maybe it's a life-changing decision, or maybe it's just really small, but you can't seem to move. Let me encourage you, friends, to take that step of faith as Joseph did. Psalm 37:5, Psalm of David, written by Joseph's grandpa, says Psalm 37:5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. Trust in him, and he will act. Like Joseph, commit yourself. Commit your life to the Lord and trust him. He will act. He will speak. He will guide. But oftentimes, it's only one step at a time. Now, some of us maybe are frustrated when the Lord only gives us a little bit of information to make one step, but think of the mercy in that. If God told you the whole entire thing, you might be completely terrified and paralyzed. Oh, I don't know, that's too much. I don't want to get into that. Maybe he's asking you to step out and serve in a small way at church, and maybe that turns into becoming a pastor. That's my story. Some of you know it. Step by step by step. God is speaking to us clearly through his word, through his Holy Spirit, to those that carry the Spirit of God around us, speaking into our lives. Sometimes he speaks through angels. Sometimes he speaks through dreams and prophecy. Those things do happen, and we have them in Scripture, and we have testimony of people in this room who have heard audibly from the voice of the Lord. But let's not miss that this is the Word of God. And he is clearly speaking to you and I right now today when we open this book. So know your Bibles. Cherish this Word. Read it. Allow it to change your life. Allow it to let you know about the heart of the Lord and his heart for you and for his plan for you. Again, the psalmist, this isn't David, but another psalmist in Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, a lamp only allows you to see a little bit of distance. It's not like these modern flashlights that we have that are just insane. But it only allows you to see the next step. And I think that there's wisdom in that. And I think there's mercy in that. So I'm going to have the band come back up. And let's leave for a few minutes after I pray, and we're just going to give give a couple minutes of just music without singing. Let's put those questions up on the screen for you to take some time to just ponder. Where's the Lord speaking to me? What might he be asking me to do? What might be a step of faith? Maybe it's one small step. Maybe it's a big step. But what a beautiful time of the year, which is actually, the church calendar is beautiful because it positions Christians and puts Christians into places where we can dwell upon and we can act upon and we can be enveloped in the story of Christ. This time of year, we are enveloped in the story of waiting, of preparation, of longing for, of groaning. Advent time is the time for us to sit and contemplate. Now, I know that we are modern Western people. This is not our reality when we turn on our phones and the television and go out to stores. But as Christians who are Christ followers, and namely Christ followers who are counter to the culture, but all about the kingdom, maybe in small ways, push back against the culture a little bit. Dig your heels in a little bit this year. And create for yourself and for your family space and silence. It's okay. And ask the Lord. Plead with him. He can handle it. Why are you calling me to do this? What are you calling me to do? Lord, you haven't spoken to me. Maybe those are some of your prayers. But take the time and space to ask those questions. And in looking at Joseph this morning, we can see that even though we have plans and we have ways that seem right to us, it is the Lord who establishes our steps. The heart of a, Proverbs 16:9 says, the heart of a Lord plans, the heart of a man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. So let's enter into the season asking questions, but listening and obeying. Amen, church? We'll have the communion team come up right now to serve us communion, and we're going to have a time where we remember that Jesus came to us ultimately to die. He came to us with a plan, and the end of his plan that would change the course of the world forever and ever is that he died, but he raised again. And it is in his blood that we are saved and we are clean. And what we are waiting for is here, and that is the salvation and the mercy and the grace that is poured out at the table. So if you are in a place this morning where you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and if you are at a place this morning where you are right with the Lord, and that there's nothing that you are wrestling with somebody else, there's no dissension between you and another believer, there's no areas of grumbling and hardness in your heart, and you're able to come and fully receive the grace and mercy that is the death of Christ, come and receive. Open your hands and gladly allow once again the reality of your salvation being poured out by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Come and receive that. If you need to deal with the Lord and repent, if you need to talk with somebody else that you might have something against, do that. Be right before the Lord so that you can come and fully embrace, fully receive, and fully understand his love for you and mercy. Amen.